I'm going to challenge you to pray every morning, God, would you put somebody in my path today that I can help? How many of you would be willing to do that? Okay, now you stuck your hand up there and God saw it. Amen? And you can't be picky and choosy. And remember, there's none of this, no, Lord, that doesn't work. You can't be selective about what God asks you to do. And then one other story, my daughter, you know, it doesn't always have to involve money. Sometimes people just need you to listen. Or sometimes even just a smile. Or just to tell somebody you're doing a good job. My daughter was coming out of the store one day and this elderly gentleman was waiting at the curb by her and there was all kinds of traffic going by and she was in a hurry, wanted to get home and do all these things, but she had to wait for all this traffic. And so this man starts talking to her and she didn't really want to listen. But you know, if we're going to be real Christians, we don't always get to do what we want to do. Amen? And so she said, I felt like God just put it on my heart to just stand there and listen to him. So she said, I stood there for 15 minutes and just listened to him. And you know what? That was just a kind thing to do. But you know what? We've always got something else we have in addition to our do not disturb sign is we've all got an excuse bag. And so really, to be honest, most Christians just look like this. Oh, the cameras come out when I act silly. Now, of course, we wouldn't wear them like this, but they're really there. We always have an excuse when it's not going to be convenient. Love always finds a way, but indifference finds an excuse. A reporter interviewing people on the street approached a well-dressed, successful-looking man and asked, "What are the two most pressing problems in America?" And the man said, "I don't know and I don't care." And the reporter said, "Sir, you are absolutely correct. Those are the two biggest problems. People don't know and they don't care." Well, I went to church last Sunday. Isn't that enough? No. See, we're just fooling ourselves if we're not going to get out in the world and live it. Now, you're being a little too quiet. We're just fooling ourselves if we're not going to get out. And I know that's a little bit scary because you think, Joyce, I don't know if I can do that kind of stuff like you're talking about. Well, it's not that, you know, God has me do something like that every day, but I get interrupted a lot by God. Because it's about more than just coming and sitting in a pew. Amen? Indifference is the attitude that pervades our culture today. I don't know and I don't care. Don't disturb me. I've always got an excuse. I'm too busy. I'm too this. I'm too that. I don't know how to do that. I'd feel silly, whatever it might be. In Luke 14, 12 through 14, it said, Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back. And then you'll be repaid." Now, you know, Jesus used a lot of over-exaggerations to make points, and that was very common in those days. I do it sometimes in my preaching. I'll overstate something to make a point. And so he's not really saying you can't have your friends for dinner. He's just saying, make sure that that's not all that you have. How about let's have in some of the people that you don't know that can't pay you back? But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Luke 14:16 through 20. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, because everything's now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses." And I think maybe Jesus might be saying today, okay, everything is all ready. Come now and get out in the world and start doing what you say you believe. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, "Well, I've just bought a field and I have to go see to it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Would you please excuse me?" And still another said, "Well, I just got married, so I can't come. Please excuse me." In Matthew 8:19 through 22, it says, "Then a teacher of the law came to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head.'" In other words, if you're going to follow me, it's not always going to be comfortable. Another disciple said to him, "Lord, I'd like to go, but first let me go and bury my father." Listen to what Jesus said. But Jesus said, "Follow me and let the dead bury the dead." So what's Jesus saying? Leave the dead stuff alone and follow me. How many hours a day do you spend on social media listening to all the gossip and the stupidity that people spurt out about stuff they don't even know anything about? You would not believe the stuff that I can find out about me if I get on there. I mean, 3 years ago, I was dead. We had people calling the office crying, "Oh my God." I had to get on Facebook and say, "I'm not dead." Right here. We have people calling the office still to this day, insisting that they can buy our diet pills that I'm selling. I don't sell diet pills. I'm preaching the gospel. I mean, people just really need to get something to do. But you know, that's just wasted time, just to go through all that stuff. And everybody telling you every move they're making all day long, I mean, who cares? I guess somebody does, they keep reading it. And if you're somebody who does that, I'm sorry if I'm offending you, but there's so many more things to do than to spend hours a day reading all this stuff. A lot of it is just gossip. And I thank God for the internet, because we can put the gospel anywhere and the devil can't stop us. If they got a signal, they can pull it down. But then, of course, Satan always tries to take advantage of every good thing that's out there too. And so be careful about spending too much of your time on dead things. Jesus said, "No, follow me." Well, let's go back for a minute. We have to go back for a minute to the Good Samaritan. Who should we help? Who should we be concerned about? Jesus said, "Your neighbor." Well, who is our neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled where the man was, when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now, the Samaritan did some things that I want you to notice. First of all, he noticed. It was interesting when we were in the back room before we came out. I used the last Kleenex in my little package, and Todd noticed that, and he brought me a new package. Little thing, but I love people that notice. So he noticed. He stopped. He sacrificed. Because he took this man, put him on his own horse, took him to an inn. He apparently was going somewhere that he had to get to. And he said to the owner of the inn, "You take care of him, get him healthy again, and whatever it costs, I will pay you when I come back." He didn't even put any limits on what he would do for this guy that he didn't even know. Oh, this is better than your acting. I love that. A man named C.T. Studd said, "Some wish to live within the sound of a chapel bell. I want to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell." Do you want to sit in church and just be religious? Or do you want to get involved? How many of you agree with me that large majority of people today, they just don't want to get involved? I mean, you know it's true. It's true. They don't want to get involved. A lot of people love to come sit in the back row of church, come in halfway through worship, leave the second it's over, don't want to know you. Just want to check off my went to church box this week. You'll recover by the next time I come. He noticed, he stopped, and he sacrificed without limits. I love that. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, Galatians 6 says. That scripture has been life-changing for me because what it says, be mindful, he's saying, on purpose, have your mind full of ways that you can be a blessing. So see, if you'll pray every morning like you said you would, "God, show me somebody I can help today. Show me something I have that I can give away. Put somebody in front of me that has a need." He'll do it. And it may not be every single day of your life. And some days it may just be a little thing. It may just be that you'll notice something and pray for the person. A man called me the other day that actually has a prophetic ministry, and he was ministering some things to me, but he said, "Well, tell me, Joyce, what's on your heart these days? What are you teaching?" And I said, "For quite a while now, I've been trying to get all of us to realize that love is not just a word. It's not a sermon. It's not something we theorize about. It's action." And it's expensive. Love always costs us something: some money, some time, some effort. Verse 10 in Galatians 6 says, "So then as occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good to all people." Can everybody say, "I'm not going to miss another opportunity"? I wish some of you guys would smile more. Say it like you mean it. I'm not going to miss another opportunity. I think this part of Florida is going to have a better day tomorrow. Let me shut this down with one last scripture. Amos 6, verse 1 and verses 4 through 7. These scriptures tell us this: those who are idle and don't stay active helping others are the first to go into captivity themselves. Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nation to whom the people of Israel come. You lie on beds adorned with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lamb and fatted calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on your musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlfuls and use your finest lotions, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into captivity or into exile. Your feasting and your lounging will come to an end. I got too much other stuff and I don't have time for it, but. Okay. Let me tell you this. If you want to be dangerous to the devil, this is the way to do it. If you want to change the world, or be part of helping to change the world, this is the way to do it. One scripture in the Bible makes the point. What are we gonna do about everything that's going on in the world today? Romans 12, 21, we overcome evil with good. Yeah. Walking in love, I mean love that's got some action to it, is the highest form of spiritual warfare that you can do. The devil will not know what to do with you if you really start caring about people.
At this East African Malnutrition Clinic, I found an important service not written on anyone's medical chart. And it's administered to patients through a loving touch of kindness.
A
lot better?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Not much.
In this region, medical facilities are a rarity, while malnutrition is common. So, families walk miles for treatment. And after arriving here, they discover how this touch is also life-changing, even for the people who are here to serve.
Yeah, I see kids coming to here with severe malnutrition, and when they go home, they are better and happy. I'm so happy working here.
Dinkanish is another obscure treasure here at the Malnutrition Clinic. She prepares food for patients, and for Dinkanish, the service she provides is the result of a domino effect.
There was a time when your life was very different also. So for you to see where you are now, are you surprised when you look back?
Yeah, it's a big difference between the past, past of my life and now.
Dinkanish once suffered in the streets of East Africa's red light districts.
I have been in prostitution. Almost I have no idea what my life is all about.
She found refuge in a safe haven, a Christian women's home supported by the partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
What did you learn about God's love for you?
God helps me in everything, and He gave me love so that I can think of love. He helped me to be in the position of God, so that I'm good girl now. I forget the past tense and I want to go further. I want to go further so that I can help everybody.
First thing we want them to do is start to think about, is there something different for me? Because once we can get that seed germinating, then we can work with them and help them come out of that place.
Pat Bradley is the founder of Crisis Aid International. We are honored to serve here in partnership with this amazing ministry, reaching out to families through practical aid and sharing the love of Christ.
We pray, we ask you, Lord God. I've always struggled on how do you convey that to somebody that you wrote a check, but my gosh, it's a miracle what's going to happen with that check. It's not just money transferring to someone. It's going into hell on earth and pulling a girl out. That's what that check did.
And it did it for the cook at the malnutrition clinic.
When I come to this organization, they helped me in school. I started my school and they taught me how to prepare food.
The clinic, built through the collaboration of Crisis Aid International and Joyce Meyer Ministry Partners, allows Dinkenish to give unto others like it was given to her. She provides a touch of kindness every day.
The thought which is the love of God helped me to be here and not to go back to that life again. I forgot that life because of God. God helps me a lot so that I don't want to think about that life again. I'm so happy with my life now, and I want to help those people.
God tells us in His Word to be light in dark places. Now, you can't see it very well in the daytime, but when the sun goes down, this place is about as dark as they come. This is a red light district, and lives are being ruined here continually. Young, precious lives that God loves so much are drawn to this place or are coerced or forced or trafficked, and this is where they end up, where they are abused, where they are told that they are worth nothing, and where they feel that they have no value. But together, we can come to this very place and be light. We can make a difference in young girls' lives. And as partners, as we do this together, we can accomplish more than we ever can apart. So when you've heard about the problems of human trafficking and thought, there's nothing I can do, that is simply not true. Through your partnership with Joyce Meyer Ministries and our Hand of Hope outreaches, you are here being a light in the darkness. Join us right now as we pull young women out of this location and give them the opportunity to know how very valued and loved they are and to start their life over. You can be part of it. Call us right now. Go to the website, joycemeyer.org, and join us in partnership. Thank you so much.